You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 397, entitled Interview with Phil Fitzpatrick and Todd Zimmerman from Crest Commercial. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate it. Without further ado, let's jump right into this week's special episode here with some representatives from Crest Commercial. So I'd like to welcome Phil Fitzpatrick and Todd Zimmerman to the show. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi, Julio.
Doing great. Thanks for having us. Oh.
Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy days, especially with this exciting North American launch of Crest Commercial equipment here in North America. So maybe tell us a little bit about what or who Crest is.
Sure. So Crest is a German brand that has been acquired by a company called PosiTech. We are launching state-of-the-art battery-operated equipment for the commercial landscaper in North America and actually globally. With us is also Todd Zimmerman, who is our VP of product, who can really talk to you about the product as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for that. I remember you guys were at the Equip Expo here in 2022, just in the fall. And seemed to be a lot of buzz around Crest and their offerings. Maybe tell us a little bit about what makes Crest, their battery offerings, different than what other brands have on the market.
Phil, if you like, I'll jump in on that one.
Yes, sure.
So, Julio, thank you for having us on and appreciate the time. This is one of my favorite topics. Battery technology has been evolving for years, right? Everything from past technologies and power tools with nickel cadmium into lithium ion and how far we can stretch lithium ion to get more efficiency out of the cell itself. If we were to have come to market with Crest and be the same technology as everybody else, we wouldn't have the buzz that has been created in the industry. So, 10 years ago, PosiTech started investing in battery development with the University of Waterloo. Okay. With one thing in mind, one thing that everybody's trying to do for a battery cell, which is to lower the resistance of the cell. When you lower the resistance of the cell, you can get more efficiency out of it. So I don't know all the chemistry that makes up what our new technology is, which we refer to as CyberPack, part of our 8-minute cyber system. But what I do know is that the chemists at the University of Waterloo, working with our R&D team, developed a battery technology or the chemistry that lowered the resistance of the cell to give us key benefits. We have 10 times longer life cycle than a standard lithium ion cell, an 18650 cell. So we're 3,000 life cycles compared to roughly about 300. We get 2 times more the out of our battery pack than a standard lithium ion battery. We're able to charge much, much faster than a standard lithium ion battery. So our CyberPack battery can charge from 0 to 100% in literally 14 minutes using our CyberTank portable power station. Or if that's not fast enough, it can charge to 0 to 100% in 8 minutes when using flash charge. So what makes us different is our battery platform finally provides what commercial landscapers are looking for, which is longer life cycles, more power out of it, faster charging, and then, oh, by the way, when you lower the resistance, it's lowering the heat of the cell. The other benefit is you have zero downtime. So the cell doesn't heat up as you're using it. Once you take it off the tool, you place it on the charger, and it can start charging right away. Mm-hmm. A standard lithium-ion battery, even the ones that we offer on the 60-volt prosumer side, after they've been used, there is a time period that they have to cool down before the charger will start charging those battery packs. So it really is a different technology focused on what landscapers have been waiting for, which is a battery platform that allows them to have the same power as a gas product, but just offered in a battery version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's super exciting. I know that when I started to dig in a little bit on Cress's technology and being able to speak to some of your representatives about it, I immediately got it. Like the light bulb went off in my head going, this is a game changer. This is, and I went as you know, once I started really kind of digging into like your cyber tank and all that sort of stuff, I was like, this is something I think that not only is it a game changer in terms of Cress, but I think it's going to change the industry. I think other companies are going to copy this technology in terms of offering that system or something similar, because it just totally makes sense. Like how Cress has approached the whole, having that cyber tank system and all that stuff, so that you're not, because the biggest complaint I've heard from people all the time with batteries is that, you know, you got to have a million batteries with you to make it through the day, and it doesn't have the power, and Cress just answers all of those questions. So it's pretty amazing that that thermal.
And one of the other things that you had touched on, right, is the other innovation that we're bringing to them is the cyber tank.
Yeah,
the cyber tank is basically your fuel tank that is a DC to DC charger that stays with you or stays on your trailer in your truck all day. So you don't have to purchase, we'll just say, 25 or 30 batteries to charge overnight to get through a day. You can limit your number of batteries and charge them on the cyber tank without having to, you know, reconfigure your truck, trying to connect solar panels, you know, customize something to be able to charge. The cyber tank is your charging station, and it has the capability to charge the batteries, the 11 amp hour and a 4 amp hour, soon to be a 2 amp hour coming out, on your trailer. So you're not being out of runtime or being out of power or having to charge up 25 or 30 batteries overnight.
Mm-hmm. So that cyber tank system is essentially a battery, a larger battery that you're carrying with you. So you're charging that overnight, am I correct? And then carrying that with you during the day?
Yes, sir. Oh. Yeah. So the cyber tank, we have two different versions. We've got the 875 and the 877. The 875 is we refer to it as a 5 kilowatt unit. Then we have the 877, which is a 7.2 kilowatt unit. But the voltage on the battery that we're using is 48 volt. It's either 105 amp hour or 150 amp hour. So it takes roughly between 3 to 4 hours to charge the battery overnight. Mm-hmm. But then that battery is used during the day to be able to charge our 60 volt cyber tank batteries or even our 60 volt prosumer batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, for people that can't get their head around it, wrap their head around, they'll, you know, I'm sure some people will be, well, how come it takes 3 to 4 hours to charge that battery, but then I can charge another battery much quicker? And I've been trying to explain it in terms of I've gotten really into battery stuff the last year. I went all battery with my lawn care business is for all the handheld stuff that I could, using some of the Milwaukee stuff that had been sent to me over the years. And I also mm-hmm. purchased a used electric car this past year as an experiment, just to see what living life with an electric car would be. And so I dug into battery stuff and learned a bunch. And the way I kind of explain the Cress to people is that it's kind of like a Tesla owner charging their Tesla at home with their 110-volt wall plug, and that it takes much longer versus going to a Tesla supercharger, which can do it really quick. And the difference is when you're at home, you're using AC or alternating current, and the car's onboard charger has to convert that to DC current because batteries are DC, and that takes time. Whereas when you go to a supercharger or a fast charger in an electric car, it's already providing DC energy. So it's already doing that conversion without having to go through the car's onboard chargers to do that. And it can dump that energy directly into the battery, which is, I'm assuming, is the same technology as the CyberTank. It's doing that conversion overnight with your 110-volt charger or your plug at home. But then now you've got DC energy stored in that battery that can just dump that energy quickly into those CyberPack batteries. Is that correct in my understanding?
That is 100% perfect example. It's okay. A great analogy to share. Yeah, very well. Thank you for doing that.
So yeah, I've been a total battery nerd this past year with the car and the tools and stuff, and trying to learn as much as I've seen. I know that the industry is obviously going in this direction. It's been a really neat thing to dive into and learn kind of the ins and outs on that part of it. So what exactly is Crest launching in terms of tools for the North American market?
So we're going to focus on the core handheld tools to begin with. So we'll have a 16.5-inch string trimmer, a straight stick edger, a 21-inch self-propelled mower, a 25-inch hedge trimmer, and then a blower, a 35-newton backpack blower, which is just a beast of a cordless blower to begin with, mm-hmm. And then also a 16-inch chainsaw that'll be using a Oregon 0.325 LP bar and chain from Oregon.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. The blower is something, I think, another sort of standout product, because I think it's going to be one of the first, true backpack blowers that is battery powered. The biggest hurdle has been the consumption of power for batteries on blowers. I'm sure a lot of people have seen with other brands of equipment that are battery powered that, you know, they'll have a rating for how much time the runtime can work with batteries, and they'll notice a trend that the blower is always the least amount of runtime. How does the power compare in terms of, say, a gas backpack blower?
Oh, that's a very fair question. So on our top end, the max CFM is 35 newtons. The CFM. The max power is 35 newtons, which would compare to a top-end gas product that's out there today. When you look at the CFM, it's 900 CFM rating, mm-hmm. which surpasses the top-rated gas product that's out there today, or top-selling. I won't say top-rated, but top-selling gas product out there today, which we benchmarked off of, mm-hmm. right? So one of the things that we did from a product development standpoint is, typically when you're doing product development, you want to benchmark the best product that's out there. If you're doing cordless, you typically look at cordless and you do entertain gas, make sure that you're comparable in gas. But once we understood what the power capability was of the battery, it allowed us to do a lot different design for a cordless product. So with the power that we have in these CyberPack batteries, we started designing product to be a gas product. Mm-hmm. We didn't design it to be cordless. We designed all of the product we just spoke about to be gas. It just happens to be powered by our CyberPack battery system.
Yeah, that's a huge point, because, like I said, the power consumption is sort of the biggest sticking point in my discussions that I've had with other manufacturers. And people always asking, like, when are you guys coming out with a backpack blower and stuff, and they would try to explain, like, it's very difficult to come out with a battery-powered backpack blower because of the amount of power. And you'd either need a massive battery or you're just going to have really short run times, which, you know, aren't going to make it worth it. But that whole Crest system with a cyber tank and all that stuff is really that missing puzzle piece to be able to offer both. When I was doing some research here on backpack blowers, and I was trying to think of an example so people can kind of picture, because Newtons is one of those things that a lot of people can't really wrap their heads around, the Newton thing. So I was looking at sort of a well-known gas-powered brand, and so Echo is one that I'm familiar with, and for many years, up until recently, their biggest, strongest gas backpack blower was their PB770, and that has a Newton rating of 32. So your Crest is at 35. Now, Echo's put out a much bigger backpack blower recently, the 9010 and stuff, and I think that one's at 40. But this kind of gives people an example that, or an idea that this battery powered backpack blower is right up there. It is in the top percentage of most powerful blowers that you can use, and it's battery powered. That's just absolutely amazing that something like that is available right out of the blue. Like, it, until you guys were at that Equip Expo, there was nothing really on the horizon with kind of expected by people.
And you touched on it, right? I mean, when you're moving, it seems odd or maybe ironic when you're talking about moving air and it's one of the biggest energy hogs, right? It consumes the most energy to move probably one of the lightest things that we're used to. But it is. It really is an energy consumption that everybody's been trying to overcome. With our system, as you pointed out, it allows us to have a different opportunity to replace gas, because by the time you use that battery on a backpack blower wide open at 35 Newtons, the next battery is already charged, right? From an 11 amp hour battery standpoint. And there's not anyone on the market today that we know of, right? Not saying that there isn't out there, but ones that we know of that have that capability to charge that quickly, to be able to use a backpack blower, a cordless backpack blower, as really getting to be a true replacement for those gas items that are out there today.
Yeah.
I would even add on the subject of blowers, that is one of the areas that you hear a lot of regulations, municipalities and provincial governments implementing regulations around the use of gas-powered, actually blowers in general, and most of it relates to the noise that they generate.
Yes.
And the relevance of launching our brand at this time is that now we can get into blowers that are battery operated, that generate less noise at a time that municipalities changing up the regulation. So it's very relevant. And in general, all the whole product line as a whole is really kind of bringing that ability for the landscaper to make the switch, as we see, multiple municipalities, the NCC, the National Capital Commission in Ottawa, as an example, is instituting regulations around the use of gas-powered handheld equipment that it goes into effect this April in 2023. And a lot of the municipalities and government institutions are designing their specs or their quote sheets for these types of jobs around non-gas products. So I think the brand is very relevant. It's at a very relevant time to be launching this type of product.
Yeah, absolutely. I know even around me here in, I'm in a suburb of Vancouver, but I know there's some neighborhoods in Vancouver that have already, there are bans on backpack blowers and stuff for the noise. So yeah, it's definitely relevant. I see it, all the time. Knowing that that was how it was going to go, and with just the way the gas fuel prices this past year kind of skyrocketed as well, I was like, you know what? There's no better time to sort of jump in and start experimenting on how this is going to look like. And, that famous quote from Wayne Gretzky comes to mind, where he says, I skate to where the puck is going, not to where the puck has been. And I kind of thought about that in my lawn care business, going, you know what, let me get ahead of this, because this is going to be a reality at some point. This gas stuff is going to be banned. And, if I can work out the quirks and the systems and see what I need and get on that this year and kind of, play with that, I'll be better prepared for when those bylaws do come into play. And, it won't be a big deal. And I learned a bunch of, interesting things at first, switching with just the basic stuff that's available currently. Like I said, I was using some of the Milwaukee stuff, and it wasn't the greatest in terms of overall use compared to like a gas unit or anything. But it did work. But what I found was that I really enjoyed battery power after the initial month or so. And when I think back, when I first went out, I took all the gas stuff with me on the first few weeks because I wasn't confident in the battery stuff to rely on it. And what I quickly found was that I could be, and I stopped taking the gas stuff with me on a daily basis. And the Milwaukee stuff, unfortunately, is not rated for weather, and we'll get into the Crest with that. So I'd have to go back to using gas stuff on the rainy days here in the Pacific Northwest, and there's a lot of those. And I was just like, oh no, like I don't want to use gas anymore. It just, oh, I just started loving using the battery stuff. It was just so much more enjoyable from the noise perspective, being able to hear, you know, podcasts that I was listening to a lot more clearer without the noise, not breathing in the fumes. You kind of get used to it. But after taking a break and using battery, every time I would go back to gas, I started noticing that I was getting really nauseous from the fumes because I wasn't conditioned to it anymore. And it just made me think of like, oh man, for the past 17 years breathing this stuff in, it's like, that's crazy that I'm so like sensitive to it now.
Yeah, so true. Even, you know, from a homeowner use, the conversion to battery has happened quicker, you know, at the homeowner level because of the job perhaps don't match what landscapers require. But, you know, even homeowner use, as you transition to battery, as you say, Julio, it's just such the convenience factor of being able to just slide the battery in and get out there and do your trimming or your mowing or whatever it might be, and then put it away. You don't have to worry about filling up the gas tank or changing the oil and all that kind of stuff. So as that has happened in the homeowner use, we feel that what we're bringing is going to also allow the landscaper to do that as well and realize all those benefits that you've just identified.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The another big one was the mornings, cold mornings, and not struggling to start a gas mower and or gas trimmer, and then having to sit and, you know, if you tried to start it right away or to use it right away, it would stall. You have to sit there and let it warm up for, you know, a minute or so before you can get started. And that all went away with the battery stuff. It was just like pull the trigger and go. And it was just so many things that I started to really enjoy about using the battery stuff that I was like, man, I am sold. Like, I just love the whole idea of the battery stuff. Of course, batteries as a whole, like I said, because it wasn't, it's not the greatest system, the one that I was using. So you did need multiple batteries and it had to be, you know, cognizant of charging them and all that. And they do have, you know, thermal issues because they're not that same technology as Crest. So yeah, it's going to be a very neat future with the technology that you guys are coming up with that kind of eliminate a lot of those issues. So with the Crest lineup, you talked about a prosumer line, you talked about a commercial lineup. So is Crest going to be something that's available only at dealers? Is it something that is going to be like at retail stores as well? How does that, how do you guys see your distribution happening?
Yeah, so the Crest program, including the prosumer, will be launching nationwide in Canada at the dealer location. So in Canada, we've already solicited and recruited, you know, in the range of 120, 125 dealers who are going to participate in the program. At this point, we're not looking at, you know, the big box or, you know, hardware channel to distribute this in Canada at this point.
Okay. So just strictly through dealers. What about in the U.S.? Is it the same sort of idea there?
Correct. It is. It's the same idea that the Crest brand is exclusive to the dealer, independent dealers or independent power equipment dealers for North America.
Okay. So is with a question with your batteries and your chargers. So are there different, I think you mentioned different size cyber pack batteries. Are there also different size cyber tank batteries? And is there options for not having a cyber tank? Can you just like, are there like regular chargers, I would guess, would be the question?
Yeah, I get so excited about the cyber tank. I forget to talk about all the other things that we have. So I apologize. So yeah, we do. In the cyber system, the 8-minute cyber system, it consists currently of a 4-amp-hour cyber pack battery and an 11-amp-hour cyber pack battery. Later this year, late Q2, Q3, we're going to introduce a 2-amp-hour cyber pack battery. All of those can be used on the cyber tanks, right? There's two sizes of cyber tanks. There's one that's a 5 kilowatt and one that's a 7.7 kilowatt unit. The 7.7 kilowatt unit allows you to charge more of those batteries during the day.
Okay.
Energy to use. On top of that, we also have a dual port AC charger that you can use to charge these batteries as well. So one of the benefits of the cyber tank is there's three ports on the cyber tank. You batteries at the same time.
Yep.
And then the third one would be after the two batteries are done. So essentially, if you're trying to charge two 11 amp hours, you can charge them on the cyber tank, both in 14 minutes.
Okay.
The AC charger that we have is, a sequential charging. So the 4-amp-hour on the AC charger will charge in roughly 11 minutes for one, and then the 11-amp-hour will charge in about 25 minutes for one 11-amp-hour, which, by the way, is still one of the fastest charging batteries, even when using an AC charger,
mm-hmm.
right? If the same 11-amp-hour battery in a competitor using the charging system could be anywhere between 2 to 6 hours, depending on the amp that the charger is specified to be.
Okay. So is that because of that thermal issue with most batteries?
It is, right? There's the cell itself, right? And we as well also have standard lithium-ion batteries in our 60-volt prosumer range. We have 2.5, and we have a 5-amp-hour battery pack. So you can those cells can only take a certain amount of energy at a time, right, to make sure that you don't heat them up and you don't damage them. So as a manufacturer, we all work with the cell suppliers to understand what those limits are and develop the software to make sure that it follows those limitations to keep the product in range for charge and discharge.
Mm-hmm. So that raises another question. So that thermal throttling and stuff that happens, and it's one of the complaints I've seen from some of the reviews I've did on the Milwaukee equipment that I was using, was that people in some warmer areas, warmer climates, would chime in and say, you know, they tried this Milwaukee unit and stuff like that, and you know, it would always shut off after running it for a certain amount of time. And I think, from my understanding and from what I was thinking, and then they would say, you know, they'd have to let it rest or cool down or something before they could use it again. It's that battery issue with that traditional technology where it just gets too hot and then it has a safety shut off or something to prevent the batteries from getting damaged and stuff. And so with the Crest, this wouldn't be an issue.
Correct. Because the again is to create low resistance, so the battery will stay cool.
Okay.
Now, let's face it, if you're trying to string trim or mow or something and it's 130 degrees out, a whole different type of story for any type of battery that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But from normal conditions, if you're using it in the same condition, because the chemistry lowers the resistance, lowers the heat, you'll be able to use that battery in that same condition.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So that raises a question, because you mentioned something about, working with the cell manufacturer and I've heard from other manufacturers that make battery powered equipment that one of the sort of, I guess, a bottleneck, I don't know if that's the right word to use or not, is that there is only a handful of brands or companies like Panasonic and stuff like that actually make the batteries. Is that the case with how you guys are doing the batteries? Is it like one of those big three or big two or whatever, however many battery manufacturers there are that are making your batteries? And so they're making them though with your specific chemistry for you guys. Is that correct?
So the manufacturer of the battery is one of the the secret sauce, so to speak, but we are not utilizing one of the top three cell manufacturers.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's a proprietary and patented design.
Yep.
And if you're working with them, then that becomes available to everybody quickly.
Yeah.
We want to protect our investment and try, again, like we talked about at the very beginning, if we didn't have something different in the market to come to landscapers and dealers across North America with something different, something innovative, we'd be just a me too.
Yeah.
From our standpoint, we feel we do truly have a different option, a better option for cordless, to convert gas to cordless now. So everything that we're doing is being very heavily guarded.
Yep.
To make sure that we protect our interest to, we hope, right, and is to convert as many professional landscapers from using that gas product they have today over into using Crest cordless.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to ask that question, because I'm trying to almost play devil's advocate and think of, just from my experience doing YouTube videos and stuff like that, knowing the questions that will come and will arise.
Sure.
And people, you know, knowing that there is only a few manufacturers that make batteries and stuff, and, you know, somebody will say, well, if they're being made in the same place, then it's the same battery that you get from everywhere else, sort of thing, right? So that's why I wanted to kind of touch on that, to kind of see if it truly is something that will be different. So that's awesome to hear. I touched or talked about a bit about my one of my biggest struggles with battery power being in the Pacific Northwest is that I have no option but to work in the rain. That has been the biggest struggle for me as I've really adopted battery power with the stuff that's on the market right now, is that it's not water resistant. And I've had to, you know, the Milwaukee stuff at least has a big sticker on it with a rain cloud and a big X going through it. So it's like, don't use this in wet weather. So with the Crest, is water resistance an issue for equipment on one hand? And what about the cyber tanks? Is that a different category, or how do we treat those?
Yeah, so from the cyber packs and the cyber tanks, we did those to IPX5.
Okay.
Now, the design, the internal design, will pass IPX67,
okay,
which is dust proof, and then I'll call it waterproof, but the parameters are 30 minutes in 3 meters of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason that it is rated to IPX5 is because we do have venting in the batteries to allow air to come across the cells, again, to a common method to help keep the cells cool.
Yeah.
So that's why we rate it that way. It's from a testing standpoint. The product itself is rated to IPX4.
Okay.
So you're not going to stand out in hurricane weather and use it, but
yeah,
you're more than welcome to use it in rainy conditions or wet conditions.
Okay. So no extra like precautions, like having to throw a bag over the battery end of the trimmer or something like that while you're out there? Because I noticed with some other companies that they'll have like a weird zip-up bag or something that, you know, the battery goes into or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants it. So from a manufacturing standpoint, we would encourage everybody to protect their investment the best way they can,
mm-hmm,
right? If you're going to have it in rainy environments, if you have the opportunity, sure, cover it up, right? You know, protect your investment the best way you can to make sure that it's going to continue to function and over the warranty period.
Yeah.
Is it necessary? It's not required, no, but we're not going to stop somebody from doing it if they need to or want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which also comes back to another piece as well. From a Crest commercial standpoint, the batteries, the CyberPack batteries, have a warranty of 6 years or 3,000 cycles. The cyber tank is 6 years or 2,000 cycles. And then for the equipment, it's 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not only are we providing innovation and technology to be the replacement for gas as far as power specs, you know, runtime and battery life cycle, but we're also backing it with the warranty to cover those products during the dead use from a commercial landscaper.
Oh, that's awesome. So, with your launch here in the spring, when can people expect to see product being available to purchase here in North America? And excuse me, when will pricing be available for this stuff?
So we, you can expect to see this product in dealers in North America starting to trickle in. You'll see it like mid-March.
Okay.
And then more and more product, April for sure. And we should be fully stocked at all our dealers.
Okay, very cool. And I'm assuming the pricing availability will be around that same time?
Yes. Yeah, oh. That's correct.
Okay, awesome. So I'm just going to take a quick break here, and then we'll get into, I want to dive a little bit into the other side with the RTK mowers. So just stay tuned.
Summer showers, dust that chokes, acres that just won't end. Exmark knows the job of a landscape professional isn't an easy one. That's why we've crafted a legendary line of mowers built to overcome any obstacle. So you're ready to close the deal and finish the job, like you always do. Cut from the same red metal as your Exmark mower, you aren't just good at this. You were built for this.
All right, so there's a whole other side to Crest Commercial as well, and that is the RTK mowers. So maybe tell us a little bit about what those are.
Oh, man, it just keeps getting better. so from an innovation standpoint, if we look at robotic mowers, right, in North America, mowers has been a really slow adoption process versus Europe, where it is taken off. Actually, robotic mowers have a higher percent share versus push mowers or ride-on mowers in European, and Germany by far is the biggest market in the globe. Now, in the U.S., it's taken a long time for people to even recognize that there is a robotic mower category. People that use them enjoy using them, and they enjoy it because they get time back in their day, back in their weekends, where they don't have to be out in the yard mowing. But the slow adoption is occurring for two reasons, right? That we can access through research and talk papers, talking to homeowners. Why don't you just want to use a robotic mower? And there's two things. The two biggest things that always come back are, I do not want to install a boundary wire in my yard. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult process. It's time consuming. And then I also have to maintain it because I'm going to make a number up here, but 98% of the time at some point it's going to be a break in the wire.
Yeah.
And I've got to trace that break down, replace the break, and then hope it works again. Right. So it's the difficulty and frustration with installment of a boundary wire in your yard. Then the second piece of it is they don't want a dumb robot, right? They want a smart robot. I mean, if you look at indoor robotics, they started as bump and go random patterns, and then the market really started to take off as they started to, you know, vacuum in a pattern like you do, right? Or like we all do, back and forth or in the same line. So people want outdoor robotic lawnmowers to be able to mow in a pattern as well, a systematic pattern, to really look at their yard and go, man, that looks really good, versus a random robot. Now, a random type robot still will have your yard looking great, but people are just accustomed to things looking smarter.
Yes.
Right. And in that systematic pattern, you go, man, that's a smart robot, versus the one that's random going, boy, I wish I was smarter. So RTK gives us that ability, right? RTK gives that ability to everybody. Because the way RTK works is you have three points of communication between the robot, a base station or antenna, and then a satellite that's orbiting the Earth.
Okay.
Those three communicate to really get to, all right, I know where my location is as a robot. So if I know where my location is, then I know I can mow in a pattern and go back and forth. A lot of different advantages depend on how you execute it. So for one of the biggest things is overcome, okay? Get rid of the randomness, start mowing in a pattern. The biggest difference that RTK offers is that you get rid of boundary wire installation completely.
Okay.
Now, we're approaching this a little bit differently. There are units out there today that do offer zero boundary wire installation.
Mm-hmm.
The way we're approaching it, though, is that you're essentially using a mapping cart, right? There's something on the front of our mower that we call a pilot. It's a little RTK mushroom. You take that off, put this on this mapping cart, the front of it, connect it to your app, and then you simply walk the boundary of your yard to create your virtual boundary. You walk at your own pace to create. If you get back to the base station, you hit save. You take the pilot off of the mapping cart, put it back onto the mower, and now that pilot essentially is the brains of your mower.
Okay.
It knows the boundary, the virtual boundary that you just created, or the keep out zone that you just created, and now can create the most efficient path to mow your lawn, but it's going to mow it in a systematic pattern as well.
Okay.
So that's all fine and good, right? Really awesome technology. The robots are incredible. We have everything from a 3/4 acre all the way up to a 9-acre unit.
Wow.
Right? So anything for around the home to even mowing sports fields.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference, there's two big differences. One, currently, if you're looking to purchase or use a system like this, you have to install an antenna somewhere on your premises.
Okay.
On the resident's house. With our solution, we are building out our own network of RTK antennas across North America, which means when a homeowner buys an RTK robot from a dealer, the dealer can offer to come out and install the virtual boundary with the mapping cart. After that, all they have to do is hit start and the robot starts mowing. You don't have to worry about any installation of anything on the property or on the residence for a consumer.
Okay.
So we're just like we thought about with the for the commercial landscaper, like we talked about everything from, you know, thinking through the battery technology to being able to charge on the go and the product to support being commercial, being a true replacement for gas.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to look at this from a resident standpoint to really drive adoption of robotic mowers. So we were thinking through it from just the easiest installation possible. What's the easiest thing you could possibly do? Simply walk your yard with a mapping cart to create your virtual boundary, hit save, and then your mower.
Oh, okay.
That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm. So the mapping portion of it, where you're taking out that little RTK mushroom piece out of the mower and putting it in the other little cart that you go around. So is that something like if it was in the case of a homeowner and they're, you know, going to their dealer and they're investing in one of these Crest mowers, so the dealer would come out and set that up for them?
It's a one-time installation, right? Maybe it's a couple times a year if your landscape of your yard starts to change or you add things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a one-time, you walk your boundary one boundary. So we don't see it necessary for a homeowner to purchase a mapping cart to do it one time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd ask them to work with their dealers to be able to, you know, have them come out, provide the service of getting their yard mapped for that virtual boundary to make sure everything's set up and installed the right way.
Okay. So are these RTK mowers strictly for just residential homeowners? Or do you guys have a solution for like lawn care business owners? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways that you could think about it. The robots, so we have three robots that are designed to, all of them are designed to stay on a property,
okay.
Right? They're not meant to be picked up and moved from property to property. So if you're a professional landscaper and you're looking to increase your profit, you know, there's across North America, there's different articles that are, you know, labor is becoming harder and harder to come by.
Mm-hmm.
You could potentially invest in robotic mowers, set that robotic mower up on a property, allow that mower to mow every day of the week, right? You can set the schedule.
Yeah.
And then when you come by once a week, all you're literally doing at that point is either trimming, edging, and blowing.
Yep.
Edge, trimming, blowing, whatever you have to do, but you don't have to spend time on that property anymore mowing.
Mm-hmm.
So your time on property can be shorter. And you, depending on what that time is, you might be able to get more properties done per day from a different business standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen, I think I came across a company, I can't remember their name. It might have been like Blue Robin or something like that. They're a company in the U.S., a lawn care company that was already doing something similar to this using, you know, whatever's on the market available right now with robotic mowers, where they were actually installing the robotic mowers with that, the wire that you were talking about, the old style version on their, you know, all their customer properties. And then basically all they would do is they'd have their crews go, and the crews were just blowing and trimming each week, and then just maintaining the mowers if they needed anything or needed any attention, just sort of checking on them and stuff like that. So each of their clients had one of these mowers deployed on each of the properties, and then they would just go out and not even do any mowing. It was just trimming and blowing and removing any debris and stuff like that that might have fallen on the lawn and stuff like that. So yeah, interesting, right. Interesting way to go about it. With the RTK mower and that lineup, is there anything required in terms of like subscription fees or a cell phone plan or anything like that to make these things work constantly?
No, not at all. It's once, the only thing that you're paying for is the robot.
Okay.
And after that, the connection to our network is free.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you have an app that we'd want you to download so you can schedule and utilize that mower the way you want,
mm-hmm.
To work around your schedule. But, you know, even downloading the app is free. So okay. it really is just the cost of buying the mower and the installation of the virtual boundary.
Okay. And how do you guys handle, I guess, people's concerns with theft? If you have this fancy robotic mower in a backyard going and sort of, are there any sort of things to prevent theft or to help with recovery, or is it like usable anywhere, or do they have like a serial number that has to be registered, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's one question that I think every manufacturer gets asked, because we can create one that does that, develop one that has systematic pattern, but to prevent somebody from actually just grabbing it and walking it away, you'd have to chain it or lock it down somehow, which obviously nobody wants to do or will do. We understand that. But so we do, when somebody does pick it up, there is an alarm, a loud chirping sound or whistle sound that does go off.
Mm-hmm.
Does that prevent somebody from walking away with it? No, right? We'll admit that, but it does alert somebody that something may be going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, in order to use it, once it's been picked up and moved out of that virtual boundary, you do have to enter a PIN code to be able to log back in and use that robot.
Okay. So it's basically rendered useless once it's taken away from the property.
It is. It becomes a big paperweight.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's probably one of those things where you may find theft happening in the beginning stages, and then once people are kind of educated that this is useless, you know, once it's taken off the thing and it can't be sold again and used again, that one of those things where you'll see those numbers come down. But obviously, there'll always be cases with like vandalism and stuff like that. But in terms of an epidemic of them being stolen, like catalytic converters or something like that, will be not as much. So, how does the mower actually handle like the grass clippings? Is this something that you have to adjust? Because I know, like, just thinking about my area here, like in the summer months, things slow down. There's not as much, you know, clippings. I could probably go every 2 weeks with mowing a lawn. Whereas in the spring, just thinking sort of from my business standpoint, when I'm visiting clients, I have my business set up where I'm mowing their lawns once a week because that's kind of the accepted standard. But there's a time period in the spring where it's like, man, that's not even enough to go because it's growing so fast. So with these mowers, would you be adjusting, if you had this like deployed at somebody's house, would you be adjusting that pattern throughout the year, or is it just go because it's I know with those randomly, the ones that you're talking about, like the older ones where they don't do like stripes or whatever, they're just randomly going. Mm-hmm. They're always mowing. Like it's you know, it seems like they're always out there doing something to keep on top because it's a random sort of pattern. So it's always just moving around to try to catch that whole thing. But because yours is doing an actual pattern or stripes where it knows it's covered the entire lot that's been defined, do you just set it up to mow more often to handle the clippings? Is that how that works? Or
yeah, so the best thing about robotic mowers is that they can always be mowing. Okay. Now it seems a little odd to say that, but with the app, you are able to schedule it when you want it to mow, mm-hmm. right? So you can schedule around your irrigation system. You can schedule around have people in and out of the house. So the times you want it to mow are up to you. Mm-hmm. But the benefit is because you don't have to be out on a riding mower or behind a push mower. The mower can always be on. And even at the beginning of the season, right, you want to start your robotic mower early so it can get ahead of the growth of your grass, because the robotic mower that we have does a great job. It's 1.5-inch cutting height up to 3.5-inch cutting height.
Okay.
But, you know, with different conditions, as, you know, rain comes in and those different things, you don't want to let your grass get too tall, mm-hmm. even from a push mower standpoint, because then you're either going to, you know, cut it twice. So you're taking the, you know, a third of the grass off as you need for a push mower. But for a robotic mower, the benefit is that it can mow anytime you want it to mow. And what it's doing is going through and taking just the top of the blade off multiple times to keep it in shape, mm-hmm. right? To keep the grass healthy. So you're not asking it to mow once a week. You want it to mow 2, 3, 4 times a week so it can stay ahead of the curve, especially ahead of the growth curve during the spring season. And then as the summer goes on and it starts to slow down, then you can adjust your schedule and have it, you know, mow slightly less often if you want and still keep up and maintain your lawn. Mm-hmm. But the more it seems odd, but if you know, reading magazines and talking to landscapers and the careers that are, I forget the name of it, I apologize, but that look after the health of a grass,
yep.
right? The more often you mow it, the more healthy your grass becomes.
Yes.
Because you're taking off smaller and smaller clippings, which goes down into your soil, which promotes stronger root growth, which is denser grass. So you have less water you have to use, less fertilizer. So there is a true benefit to using a robotic mower and allowing it to cut often. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of which, you mentioned like rain and stuff like that. So do the units have any sort of like smart sensors and stuff? What happens if it rains? Does it just continue to go out there and mow? And what happens with, like, say, a windstorm happens and maybe some sticks or pine cones fall on the ground, or you have a pet that leaves some surprises for you? How does the mower handle those situations?
Sure. So from a rain standpoint, we do have a rain sensor on our Crest Robotics. So if it does start to rain, it'll sense that and go back to station and charge and wait for it to stop raining.
Okay.
Once it stops raining, it's relatively about 2 to 3 hours to allow the grass to dry out. Mm-hmm. Or you can go in and tell it to wait longer and set that, customize that setting yourself. But it's waiting for it to dry out a little bit so it doesn't go back onto wet soil. And also make sure that the grass up to yep. make sure that it can cut. Now, you know, for all of us in robotic lawnmowers, one thing you do have to do is you have to keep your yard clear, right? If you yep. have branches that have fallen, robotic mowers are trained to avoid obstacles.
Okay.
Right? We don't want them to get stuck on something. Yep. So if it's seen or senses an obstacle in front of it, it's going to try and avoid that obstacle so it doesn't get caught or stuck.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Definitely. Yeah, so how... you mentioned different the size lawns and stuff. So there, you guys have specific robotic mowers for different like sizes up to, I think you said it was 9 acres for one of the models. So
yes, sir. Yeah. So we have. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say. So how fast can these you know mow, say like an acre or something like that?
You know what? It's a fair question. It's always the speed or runtime. So we have, like I said, we have five different models. We have a 172, which is a 3/4 acre, 173, which is a 1 1/4, 174, which is 1 3/4. Then we jump up to a 233, which is our 4 acre, and the 236, which is our 9 acre. The speed of it is, I guess the best way to say it is probably like a slow walk, mm-hmm. right? It's not going to be as, it's not a ZTR speed, right? The way it cuts is it's always out there cutting and yep. it's doing it by itself. So keeping in mind the regulations and things that we all adhere to, there's a certain speed that it runs at to make sure it's maintaining a safe operation.
Mm-hmm. So would you, foresee any opportunities for lawn care business owners to implement these mowers in terms of like mapping out the lawns or maybe doing the maintenance on them or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of what we talked about before. There are companies that are starting to do that.
Yep.
You know, using the robotic lawn mowers to mow all the time. So when they come back, they're just taking care of, you know, the trimming and blowing. In that service, the business owner would want to charge for maintenance of those robots because, you know, let's face it, there is still some maintenance. The blades have to be changed or reviewed to make sure that they're still sharp. You still want to make sure the bottom of the deck is cleaned off, just like you do with a push mower.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's still, the wheel motors and everything are still free and turning and working appropriately. So it's not as much maintenance as a gas ZTR or gas ride-on,
yeah.
But there is still some maintenance that a business owner would be able to work with and plan out for their own business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, just sort of getting to the end here and wrapping up. When I did initially a video on YouTube about Crest Commercial and just some of the information I knew about it, one of the questions I kept seeing in the comments when I was talking about the equipment that will be available and stuff was with the 21-inch mowers and people asking if I knew if there was any plans for a 30-inch push mower, because that sort of seems how the industry is kind of going. It's got a lot of 30-inch mowers launched last year from other brands and stuff, and I guess people have an appetite for a 30-inch battery-powered mower. Any plans to have a 30-inch mower?
The roadmap is always developing, right? And we're looking at, you know, what a 30-inch mower would mean or what a commercial robot would mean to the market, right? So looking at bigger deck sizes for a robot, and could that potentially be an item that is more beneficial to professional landscapers than, you know, a 30-inch push.
Mm-hmm.
So not saying we're going in any direction. We're definitely bringing robotics to the market, but the 30 inches is on the roadmap and in discussion to make sure that we have the right solution for landscapers from a push mower standpoint.
Okay, that makes sense. So just in closing, if people are looking for more information about Crest Commercial and their offerings, where should they go to find that? Or if they're interested in seeing, you know, what dealers are near them, is there any sort of like tool or something that they can find out about where dealers are and stuff?
Well,
Bill, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Absolutely. My apologies. You certainly can go online immediately and Google Crest and get the website and get more information about the products. That's the quickest and easiest way. And the dealer listing, we've begun the dealer recruitment. You know, it's been a few months we've been working on it. So the next step is to upload that dealer list onto the website. So,
okay.
For the moment, that remains to be done.
Okay. Okay, so but probably by the spring then, March, April, there should be a resource there for people to see where their nearest dealer would be?
Yes, yeah.
Awesome. So is there anything else you guys want to add about Crest Commercial or their offerings?
You know, the only thing I would say, Julio, that we didn't really touch on, but which is very relevant for the landscaper is the return on investment.
So okay.
You know, there's all the sort of political movements, obviously, to move away from gas.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, the business part of it for the landscaper. And what our product is going to bring to the landscaper is a fairly quick return on investment. Of course, depends on where they're located mm-hmm. and the cost of fuel in their area versus the cost of electricity. But generally, it's probably going to be some kind of 2 to 3 year return on investment for the landscaper. After which time, he will not be spending, he or she will not be spending all the money that they do on fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, after that time, their bottom line grows significantly. And we will be providing a calculator that will allow the landscaper to kind of enter those numbers in and determine, you know, take a look at what the, you know, the final return on investment can be. I think it's a pretty significant and important part of the launch of this brand as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like I said at the beginning, that's a great point. I, you know, didn't even think about that part of it. Like I said, this past year, gas prices were through the roof, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, in Canada in particular. It was absolutely ridiculous with, you know, regular fuel going for almost like $7 a gallon by the time you do like the conversion and all that stuff. And just switching over to the battery stuff that I had on hand, I think in total, I used a gallon and a half of mixed fuel the entire year. The battery stuff, it worked out so well. And that gallon and a half was mostly at the end of the year because I needed a backpack blower. And I didn't have a battery-powered backpack blower for the cleanup. So really exciting to have that full range to be able to completely walk away from using gas in those situations. So no cost of fuel, no cost of, synthetic, like the oils and stuff to go in it, the maintenance on the machine, spark plugs, all that sort of stuff is spared. And not to mention just the noise. I've told the story a bunch of times where I do regular maintenance lawn mowing for my regular clients. But when they ask for certain things like trimming bushes and shrubs and stuff like that, I tell them I'll do it, but I never tell them what day I'll be there. And I do that on purpose so I can group jobs together and do, you know, similar jobs together on the same day. So I'll wait a couple weeks and just group a bunch of jobs together. So it was one instance where I showed up at a client's house unannounced because they asked me to trim some hedges and shrubs and stuff. So I was there for a few hours and they were a corner lot and I saw them driving around the corner and they stopped and they looked at me and I was like wrapping up the job. I was like completely done. And they're like, "We didn't even know you were here." I said, "Oh," I just started laughing and stuff. I said, I'm using some battery powered hedge trimmers and stuff. And they're like, "That's amazing." They're like, "Our grandson is asleep in the bed right beside the window that you're working at. And he didn't even wake up the whole time. You've been here for 2 hours trimming all this stuff." I was like, yeah, it's just so many different advantages that I've encountered using the battery stuff. That's been a joy. So I'm really looking forward to Kress and their offerings coming to market. Because it's, like I say, some of the shortfalls that battery stuff has currently, Kress seems to be addressing. So very, very exciting stuff. So thank you both, Phil and Todd, for taking time to come onto the show. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Phil Fitzpatrick and Todd Zimmerman from Kress Commercial. I'll leave a link in the podcast show notes to Kress Commercial's website so you can go and check out what they have to offer here in North America. Super exciting stuff. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.